You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This week we're going to be learning the first Pasha of the Arba Pashas, the four Pashas that we have in Chodesh Adar. The Gemara in Megillah, the Gilead base, tells us what's the importance of Pasha Shkoyim, the idea of Shkoyim. So the Gemara says, Omar Shlokish, Galui ve'adu alif ne'mi sho'omar ve'oyo oylom, sha'atid homon lishko shkoyim on Yisrael. Kibuch knew that Haman is going to put Aseres Alafim, Kikar Kesef, is going to put money in order to sell Am Yisrael to Achashverosh, give money for Achashverosh to kill Am Yisrael. Lefikach higdei igdim shikleim l'shikolov. That's why he said, you should do Machtis HaShekel, beginning of Parashat Kisisa, in order to override the Shkolim of Haman. What does it mean that the Shkolim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael to do, override the Shkolim of Haman? Taisis, the Ramosh Shapiro that Tzai Baruch always used to put together over here, this Gemara is Gemara in Megillah, Yud Gimel on base. The Taisis in Daf Tetzayin and Mudav in Megillah adds one more thing which connects to here. Taisis says over there that the money of Aseres Alafim, Kikar Kesef, which is the money that Haman put on Yisrael, that's exactly the amount of money which is equal to Chatzi Shekel for each person. Shamati she'asor afi kikar kesef oilim chatzi shekel kol echad miYisrael. So it's exactly the same amount. Not just this money against this money. It's the exact amount that Haman put against Israel originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Israel to give, and that is going to come and override the shkolim of Haman. Shai, what does it mean? I mean, just because this is 10,000, this is 10,000, you know, these amount of monies equate to each other, so therefore it rectifies each other. Obviously, there's something deeper over here. The Machzitz HaShekel be'etzem, in essence, removes the shkolim of Haman. Haman had some kind of something he wanted to achieve with the shkolim, and the Machzitz HaShekel takes it out. What is exactly the connection between the Machzitz HaShekel and the shkolim of Haman? Now, what is the reason that we read Parashat Shkolim this week? Gemara tells the Mishnah and Megillah tells us we read Parashat Shkolim. Rashi points over here. Why do we say it? Rashi says, "Koyim Parashat Shkolim, lo yodia sheyaviu shikleim beodor." We need to collect the money in Chodesh Adar, kdei shekrivu beechad benisim v'chuv chadoshim. Because you need to bring all that money. What do they do? Anybody learn Masechta Shkolim? They collected the money and then on Chodesh Nisan they used the new money that was collected this year to used for the new korbanos of the following year. And it says, Bechad be'odor, the Mishnah says, Bechad be'odor, the Mishnah brings right after, Meshvim al-Shkolim. And Aleph Odor, they used to come and announce everybody, you have to do Shkolim. So therefore, we read Parsha Shkolim in the Shabbos before, because we know that's when really the Shkolim process starts. Now one may ask, why do we read Shkolim, the Parsha before? Why don't we read, let's say, the Parsha after, which many years it works, like this year? You could say, usually you want to read it before the event. Before the event. But it still needs a little bit more beer. And we'll add to this to explain more of the question. The Gemara tells us that there is a mandama that holds that when you have a leap year, Hebrew year, you read the four Parshias in Chodesh Adar Aleph. Not Chodesh Adar Beis. Whatever the reason is. Then you also read Parshas Shkolim before. According to this mandala, before Rosh Chodesh. Even though you're not going to announce the Shkolim until Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis. So, why do we choose always Shkolim to be before Rosh Chodesh when not necessarily speaking within the month? And especially the year, the Rosh Chodesh Adar is not the Ikar Din, it's just we need to collect the money during the month of Adar, as Rashi says. So it's not we need Rosh Chodesh Adar as a date that then some money has to be collected. It's just when you're just announcing it. So why do we do it actually the Shabbos before? And to come and just emphasize the question a little bit more. We know that the Arba Pashias are connected to Purim. As we just mentioned, a leap year, if Purim is moved a month earlier, according to one mandama, those Arba Pashias will be moved a month earlier. And it brought down Tzvarim, the different reasons why we have the Arba Pashias. Last year we discussed at length, the Mahalach, the way the Vilna Gaon explains it. Another Mahalach, Svasemis and others say, is that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that in Purim we have a new Matan Torah. Why? Because Shmuel gave us the Torah in Sinai, the Gemara in Shabbos that Peches tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain above our head. Kadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain above their head and told them, if you receive the Torah, good. If not, you'll be buried right under here underneath the mountain. Says the Gemara, so therefore, a person can, Am Yisrael has an excuse to get out of the Torah. As an excuse. So, because they didn't want to get the Torah. They were forced to get the Torah. So Elama says the Gemara, how do Kiblu and Mechashverish? They received it again in the time of Mechashverish. And they rectified the fact that they did it forcefully in the first place, which we'll get back to in a moment. So comes the Sasebis and others say that our Pasha is all connected to the new Kabbalah of Torah. You're receiving the Torah again. So the same in the original about the Torah, you receive the Torah, you have Nisa v'Nishma, you have different parts about the Torah. The four Pashas can respond to each one of them, which we'll get to based on Shem in the following weeks. According to this understanding, first of all, why Pasha Shkar doesn't belong to other itself because of the week before? And how exactly Pasha Shkalim connects to this Kabbalah Satayuah prayer? What's exactly the connection? So we want to try to understand a little bit more the Pasha Shkalim and the Chodesh Adar, the fact that it comes before, and how does it connect to the prayer in the wheel? Finally, in this week's Pasha, Pasha Mishpatim, in the end of Pasha Mishpatim, it tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael said, finally, the famous words, Nasa v'Nishma. That's really the end of the Pasha, after the whole Pasha Mishpatim was given. And it says twice before that, Am Yisrael said Nasa. Once it says the Pasha Yisrael, then it says another one over here. In Pasha Mishpatim, it says that Am Yisrael accepted, it says, Kol Shadibei Hashem Nasa. And then it says, we can't say Rabbis, Kol Shadibei Hashem Nasa v'Nishma. So Rashi learns, and that's what many Rishonim learn, the way we always learned in school, the Nasa v'Nishma came before Matan Torah. Shmuel went. The story that we always learn to repeat, even have a song of it, is that Shmuel went to all the nations and they were offered in the Torah. Each one said no for different reasons. Then he came to Am Yisrael and they said Nasa v'Nishma. So Nasa v'Nishma came first, but it's written only after. Right? So, in Echanani, according to Rashi, the Tosis, and Shabbos, and others, it was really happened before, just in Mugda Mucha, really happened before. Just written after, the question was why, you need to understand. But the Ramban of this expansion, someone last week showed me, the Ramban of this expansion tells us that no, Naisa v'Nishma was said after Matan Torah, not before. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to Abraham, so he asked to do the one the Torah, he said Nase. Then he went to get the Torah, he came down from the mountain with some things that he learned, which is Pasha Mishpatim, you know, the entire Pasha Mishpatim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at the first initiation of Torah. He went up to Shemayim and came back with a bunch of mitzvahs. He went down, he taught it to Am Yisrael, and that's what it says over here. After the whole Pasha, it says that he came down and he taught them the Chukim and the Mishpatim, he taught it, etc. Abris. And then before Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to the mountain for another 40 days, that's what Am Yisrael said, Nasa v'Nishma. After the whole story, after Maimon Har Sinai, after the whole thing, they said that's an issue after everything. That's what the Ramban learns. It happened only at the end of the day. Before they said Nasa, they accepted the Torah, but they didn't say the ultimate phrase of Nasa and Nishma, the Nasa came before Nishma, that we're going to do with our understanding, that came only after. When Shemuel taught the Torah, they said we'll do it, and everything else that will be told us to do, we'll do as well. That's what the Ramban learns that it happened after. And the Ha'ara that we're trying to say today is the Chorot sounds just according to the Ramban. According to the Ramban, you are seemingly losing that effect of Naisa v'Nishma. The whole idea of the Naisa v'Nishma, the Shashik, Dimu Yisrael, Naisa v'Nishma, they said, we'll do everything before we understand. So when we learn always, based on the other Rishonim, that this came first, when the Am Yisrael said, do you want the Torah? He says, nah, we don't care what you can give to us. Everything is coming first. That's beautiful. According to Rabban, what happens? They count the Torah. And they're called for the Monkey Geeks. And they learn some Torah. And then they said, you know what? Everything else will accept as well. Doesn't that take away a little bit from the Milo that we have of the Nice of Inishma that comes before? According to the Ramban, what exactly is it, this big gedula of Nisa v'Nishvah, which comes only after? How do we understand it? So, to explain all that, let's go back to sugya, which we did discuss over here in the past, but really will shed light on everything that we asked today. As we mentioned, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Am Yisrael to receive the Torah by putting the mountain above their head. So Tosfos asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force us to receive the Torah? We did say Na'aseh v'Nishma. The Tosfos asks, L'shitas Torah, according to the word Rashi, Na'aseh v'Nishma came first. So when he said Na'aseh v'Nishma, we accepted the Torah, why did he force us? Even according to the Ramban that came after, you still can ask the question, why do you have to be forced? Obviously, ultimately, we'll say Na'aseh v'Nishma. Maybe according to Ramban, you could answer that moment under our sinner, they weren't saying Na'aseh v'Nishma, you had to force them. It only afterwards it came. But according to the Tosfos, it's clearly according to the way the other Shirin learned, the Na'aseh v'Nishma came first. It's clearly a question, why would there's a need to force us to receive the Torah if Am Yisrael said Na'aseh v'Nishma? That's the question of Tosfos. So, and there's different answers. Tosfos himself says the reason they were forced to do it was because maybe Hashem, maybe they will change their mind when they will see the big fires. The Maharal, we mentioned it once in length, Maharal says the answer that if Am Yisrael will see the Torah Na'aseh v'Nishma, so then it would seem that it depends on their mindset. Meaning because we said yes, we receive the Torah. So if so, if we say no, we can say no. In other words, it depends on us. It's not mukhrach. It's not something which has to be. Happened to me that we agreed to it. So I mean it's not something which is
obligatory.
Which will alter
obligatory.
That's not something that necessarily would happen. Here for Gishbol force it shows the Torah is equal. And again, according to the Ramban, one can say that really a hot crowd came first. Well forced that they see the Torah. And then we see the Torah, once we see the Torah as an Ishra, that really the question is not that's why they had that force. But according to all these answers, what does the Gemara tell us? As we mentioned, the Gemara says, "Hodor kiblua b'imei Achashverosh." Came Purim, that force is gone. Hodor kiblua b'imei Achashverosh. So first of all, the question is, why? What happened in Purim that changed? Why Purim suddenly was a shift in what we had before, that we were forced before originally, now we're not forced anymore. Rashi says, "Avas Nes, we love the Nes. We had so many miracles before. But furthermore, what about all these answers? What about the fact that maybe they'll change your mind? Like Tosfos says, maybe according to the Maharal, you want to show that there's no really other option. According to the Ramban, it really came first. So we were forced to get it, now how do we keep blowing? I mean, what about this idea that we were forced to get it originally? How do you take that out with Purim? How does that go retroactively? Okay, you want to tell me Purim, everybody just happened to get the Torah. But especially according to the Ramban, also the beginning of the Torah went. And then it said, that's of Nishma. So what happened in Purim now that corrects the Kefiyas HaKigigis? So, I heard this from a Rebbe Moshe Pires at Side of Ochre, the name of one of the Achronim. I never was able to find an Achron inside. But the way the answer goes is the following. The Rambam tells us that we know a person needs to kill himself if he is faced with the option of either doing a v'dizara or dying. One of the shalosh mitzvahs chamuros, one of the three mitzvahs that a person needs to kill himself for that, you don't say pikuach nefesh, is when? Is a v'dizara. So a person has the option. And the option is, you have either the choice of doing a v'dizara, or you are going to have to die, the din is a person needs to kill himself. What happens if the person chooses not to kill himself? And he doesn't really deserve it. But he was forced to do it by a guy. So what happens then? So the Rambam learns that in that case is onus. He's forced. So it's not, it's considered to be not a mice. He's not going to be punished for it. Because, right, he was supposed to kill himself for it. But if he didn't, he was still onus. It wasn't him. The guy put a gun to his head and told if you'll do it, die, die. He was basically forced by a different force. True, he should have sacrificed himself for that. But if he didn't sacrifice, he's honest. it's not considered to be Avodah Zarah, even though he was supposed to kill himself. That's what the Rambam says. But the Rambam later says something else. The Rambam says that if a person is sick, and the only way to heal himself is to use a medicine made out of a dessert, which is not allowed. We're strapping bats of a dessert. And a person goes and heals himself with a dessert, so he's chayav. It's considered to be a dessert. He's not onus. He's not onus. So the Achrayim ask, what's the difference? If a guy forces the Jew to do it, he needs to kill himself. He didn't kill himself, he's honest. It's not him. He was forced. But if he was forced by a sickness, it could be done. In other words, he doesn't want to do it with his arm. But the only way. There's no way to do it. Well, let's just put the question. So he's forced to do it by a sickness. You say, I don't want to do it. Just, I have no other choice. So I'm honest too. What's the chilek if a guy puts a gun to his head or he's forced by a sickness? So the Achrayim say the following. Achrayim say it's very simple. The difference is that when a guy is forcing a person to do it, is an outside force. That's a din of oinus. I didn't do it. Someone else forced me. But a sickness is considered to be in halacha, even though we know it's germs and an infection, it's part of your body. The same way you can't say, my right hand forced my left hand to hit you. It's not me. If your right hand is you, your left hand is who, you force yourself, you can't force yourself. So a person is sick, right, because of his own need, his own bodily needs, he's forcing himself to do it. But it's himself. And because it's himself, a person cannot force himself. There's no such thing as oinus, it's done by yourself. So you may learn when a person is forced by an outside source, that's a din of oinus or chana patri. You're forced, it's not you. But when you're forcing yourself, there's no such thing. So it's brought down, I think, but I'm mistaken, Moshe mentioned the name of the Tzlach, like, I don't remember finding a man. He says the following, the pshat is, when you're going, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forcing Am Yisrael to receive the Torah, he put the mountain above their head. Then Am Yisrael had the idea, the conception, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was up there in Shemaim, and we here in the Eretz, and he's forcing us to receive the Torah. It's not us. Oinus. It's an outside force. Outside forcing us is not us. Mikan Mordor Rabbel Oreisos. So now we have an excuse not to do the Torah. We were forced. But what happened in Purim? The Chiddush of Purim is, the biggest Chiddush of Purim was that, as the Ramban mentions, when Am Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, doing the first base of Mikdash, they saw Kadosh Baruch Hu wherever they were going, clearly, because you had Beis HaMikdash. And you would go to Beis HaMikdash, you had the Shechin in Beis HaMikdash. And there was a Saranis, there was 10 miracles happening every day. And if a person had any problem, you'd go to a Navi, go to a prophet, and you'd ask him, what should I do? What does the Kishbuchu want from me? Should I do this? Should I do that? There was Urim V'tumim by the Kohen Gadol. So you went and asked what to do. But then Am Yisrael went to Golos, went to exile. And they lost everything. Am Yisrael felt, that's it. The relationship with the Kishbuchu is gone. We're gone. Why? Where is it? I can't communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have no one to talk to. So it's gone. The Chiddush of Purim was the Kadosh Baruch Hu showed you wherever you are, I'm with you. Kol makom shegalu shechina imayim. Wherever you go, Shechina is with you. Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is the big Chiddush? As all the four, the garden, beginning of Megillah says, and all the other ones say the same thing. The idea of Shabbat is that the whole idea of Megillah was no miracles. It was all a natural process. Timing. It just, Kadosh Baruch Hu showed that the natural process of things, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kadosh Baruch Hu is there with us every day, wherever we are. Or as mentioned, the Gemara says, Mizmor La'el Sashachar, that's the Mizmor that refers to Esther. And it says, because the Gemara Megillah tells us, says the Gemara, what's Mizmor La'el Sashachar? The Medrash, sorry, La'el Sashachar. Ma shachar soif ha laila. Same, the morning is the end of the night. Af Esther soif anisim. So Esther is the end of miracles. So when you're equating when the miracles end, miracles in the chor of the time when everything is revealed, you see Kadosh Baruch Hu. The miracles end, it becomes dark. So what should be compared the Esther to the morning and to the evening? So to the evening. Until then, you had miracles, and the miracles ended. The Chazal tell us, Ma Esther, Soif Anisim, my Shachar is Soif Alayla. It's compared to the morning. Yes, a Shachar, the morning. So Pshat is, as it brought down, he plays the Pshat is simple. Until Esther came, it was all miracles. Miracles means once in a while there's revelation of Hashem. It's like as the Rambam says in the Moira, it's like you have a big lightning. The lightning is for one moment, you see light. And then it becomes dark again. Then you have another lightning, it becomes dark again. But Esther becomes a consistent daily time that you see Hashem every moment, every day. It's not anymore lightning. It's not anymore once in a while. It's not only anymore as my Esther Sefer Laila, miracles that happen once in a while. But it's a consistent light the whole day, the whole time. So that's why Esther is compared to the morning. Esther is like a shachar that the day is the whole time. It's consistent. That's what Esther did. Meaning Esther being Purim. Purim the Chiddush is that our day-to-day life, without having to be Samigdosh or Nevuah or Rithurim, wherever we are, Kishmo is with us. He lives with us. We're part. We are the Kadosh Baruch Hu, are one entity. So he made the answers like this. The Chiddush was when Kadosh Baruch Hu called for the Akigigis, we put the mountain above our head. For that outside force is forcing us to receive the Torah. It's not us. But in Purim Yisgalah, the revelation of Purim was that us and Kadosh Baruch Hu are one. It's the same entity. The right hand can't force your left hand. A sickness cannot force you. It's not going to be a force. Hashem and us are one. Same way Kadosh Baruch Hu, same way a person cannot force himself, when Kadosh Baruch Hu forces us, that's that. Us? That is, that's not an outside idea, that's us. It's not a force. So we may, that's what the Gemara tells us. We were forced. Until Purim, we thought we were forced by outside force, by outside entity. It's not us. Came Purim, and the Chiddush is, it's not an outside entity, it's you. So it's really not a force. Not a force. Only control. So according to all the shittas, that now we figured out it wasn't really a force. It was us. Ratzon Hashem is our Ratzon, the same way our deeds are done by Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's all one. So according to the Ramban, Kadosh Baruch Hu forced us, but that being forced by Kadosh Baruch Hu is not us. According to the Maharal, what was the idea? Well, you would think it's something that depends on our will. It doesn't depend on our will. It depends on Kadosh Baruch Hu's will. According to the Tosfos, maybe they will change their mind. Well, you're not changing your mind because our man and Kadosh Baruch Hu's mind is one. That was the Chiddush of Purim. That's all the kiblu in Me'achashverosh. And according to that, that's the understanding and the idea of Purim. That Purim revealed to us, retroactively, that when Kadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain above our heads, it wasn't really an outside entity, it's us. It was Megala, what we really want. Because our Ratzon, Hashem's Ratzon is one. That's really connects to the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. The Rambam says, when you force a person to give a get, how can you force a person to give a get? He needs to have his das, he needs to have his will. Says the Rambam, when a person doesn't want to give a get, it's not really him. He didn't say these words of Yetzirah, but it's what we call Yetzirah. It's, you know, he convinced himself he doesn't want to give a get, he doesn't want to listen to Beis Din. But the Emes says that his real Ratzon is to do Ratzon Hashem, which the Beis Din are telling him to do. So when you force him, you're revealing his real will. When Kadosh Baruch Hu is putting the mountain above our head, he's revealing our real will, our real Ratzon. We're saying yes. We're saying yes because of force. Yeah, we're saying yes because of force, because we had Yitzhara, we had things that are stopping us from revealing our will. But with the Maisa, when I'm putting the mountain above your head, comes the real Ratzon, to do what Hashem wants, because it's the same Ratzon. That's what we found out in prayer. There wasn't a force; it was really revealing the real Ratzon that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. That's what retroactively in Purim, Hadar Kiblua in Me'achashverosh. That's what happened. So according to that, comes out the Ramban in this week's Parsha is Mamash Gevaldik. That really, Kfiyas HaKadigas came first. We went under the mountain, Kadosh Baruch Hu put a mountain above our head. So we say, doesn't that diminish that Amishel did initiate the will? They did not the one to start saying we want it. Stan says no, because forcing us with the mountain above our head—that's a much higher Ratzon. It's not our own Ratzon. It's the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu. As the Maharal says, our Ratzon means we decide to do it. Maybe yes, maybe not, we can change our mind. But when you have the Ratzon of Hashem, that's a Ratzon which is part and parcel of the world. That's who we really are. That's a Ratzon that doesn't change. So according to the Ramban, that comes out to be much more Gishmak. The first thing was the Kafal Kigigis, which is the revelation of our real Ratzon. And once we have that, then we said, nice fish, then came out also our, you call it on the surface Ratzon. The Ratzon which is, seems to be our free will, we decide to do it. But originally came the more deeper Ratzon, the Ratzon of Hashem, which is really our Ratzon, which it took us then a few thousand years to understand that this is really who we are. But that's the first thing. That's the initiation. That's how the Torah starts. The Kofal Gigigis. Only then comes Nisa Ganishma. And with that, we go back to Pasha Shkol. We know the shekel, each will give a machzitz shekel, half a shekel. So the name of the Achronim, Sifrei Chasidus is brought down that comes to say that each person in Am Yisrael is a half. And he connects to another person in Am Yisrael and a half. But the original, the Rishonim already say, the Machzitz Shekel is only a half. You know why? Because half is us, and the other half is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we fulfill a shekel, a one shekel. Half is us, and half is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And together, that's the one shekel. As the Gemara Menachos tells us, Tosfos brings Menachos, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know how to do Machzitz Shekel. It was very difficult for him to understand his kasha Machzitz Shekel. It was very difficult to understand how to do it. So last year we spoke about, from a different angle, how Machzitz Shekel is, has to do with the materialistic thing in the world. But according to what we're saying now, the idea is simple. How does Machzitz Shekel, which is the us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, become one? We and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one entity. It was the little kasha Moshe Rabbeinu. The same shekel, half of it is us, half of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which thing brings us together? Because Bogus showed him a Matbea Shalesh, a coin made out of fire. A concept where we see that we and Kishbogus become one. It says that a fire, when a fire burns, it turns everything it holds on to into fire. And when something goes into water, not necessarily, it could be there for years. You have ships that are the wreck in the water for years. But in the fire, what happens to whatever the fire catches on to?
It's consumed.
Consumed because it's part of the fire. Matbea Shalesh means we are consumed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, become one. Echot, a real echot. That's the idea of the Machzitz HaShekel, that it's half, it's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one. That's the idea. So Yimele says, the Gemara, before Haman wanted to do a sales of Kira Kesef. Let's sell Am Yisrael. I mean, in other words, they're expendable. We can get rid of them. Let's do something else. He did our shkolim first. Our shkolim first means that we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. You can't have the world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no world. We can't have the world without Am Yisrael. It's Echad. The same one. The same entity. It's not just it's a coincidence. He had 10,000 shkolim. We had 10,000 shkolim. He takes it away. That our 10,000 shkolim is saying that really the entity of Am Yisrael is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one entity. And if so, there's no shaykhus to sell them and to try and take away Am Yisrael because they're be'etzer, they're part of the world. That's Hikdim Shekalim Shkolim. And with that, we get to, that's the idea, the Parsha Shkolim is a preview to the Matan Torah of Purim. Because as Purim comes, the biggest gila of Hodu Kibim HaKashverash is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We started with an Agdama. It comes before the Chodesh Adar. Before we get to our own free will and our own Kabbalah Satoyah and our Hodr Kiblu that we're deciding to change it. We're saying, where does this come from? It comes from Shkolim, the Weir Kesh Baruch Hu Echad. That's the preview to get to the understanding. It started with Hodr Kesh Baruch Hu Echad. So you made the whole Hodr Kiblu HaKashverash make sense. It's a preview even before Chodesh Adar starts. Before we go into Chodesh Adar, the Megal, the Hodr Kesh Baruch Hu one, start with a preview that us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu connect with the Shkolim. That's the idea of the Parsha Shkolim. And to add one more connection now, this would end. That according to the Ramban, if the Arba Parshias are the different steps of Kabbalah Satorah, the new Kabbalah Satorah Purim, so the first step of Kabbalah Satorah is Kofa Alev HaKadosh. The first step is HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us. And according to what we learned today, forced us means, didn't really force us, it means that our will and His will is one. So the first stage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forcing us, meaning revealing that we and Him are one, that's the idea of Parshas Shkolim. That's stage one of Matan Torah. In order to get Torah, we're revealing that we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. That's stage number one. That's the idea of Parshas Shkolim. We have half a shekel, the half a shekel connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when these two things connect together, then we can receive the Torah because our will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is one. So the Akdam of Chodesh Adar is, we're starting with this revelation. Our will is, like the Gemara said in Brachas, Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzoneinu. Our will and His will is one. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Chad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael is one thing. Wherever we go, Shechina Yimayim, we're all one entity. That's the big Chiddush that we're Oyved doing this month, doing this new Kabbalah Satoira. Kabbalah Satoira that fixes and elevates the Nasa V'Nishma of this week's Parsha.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.